¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.
Aleluya. I want to look at something more. Let us look at the bridegroom that is coming. Before we look at this external supply of support that only the wise virgins had. How about the bridegroom? We hear he has been announced. He is coming. What do we know about the bridegroom? Number one, just to clear the air, to make sure we are on the same page, the bridegroom comes in the darkness of the night. Hallelujah. He does not come in the light. Which means it was so critical for the 10 virgins to have stepped out of the church, out of the house, to go into the darkness. Because that is where the bridegroom is coming into. Hallelujah. To pick his bride. Number two, there is a midnight cry that announces the coming of the bridegroom. He comes and he takes only the virgins that have the oil. That means the coming of the bridegroom to pick his bride is related to the oil. Because the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 7 to verse 9 says, the entire heaven said, let us rejoice and be glad, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. Why? For his bride has made herself ready. But now we are seeing that the only way the bride would have made herself ready is if she had the anointing oil. She had the Holy Spirit. So it means the coming of the bridegroom is directly related to the availability of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have seen very clearly that when the Lord Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins who went out to wait on the bridegroom, and 5 of them being foolish and the other 5 being wise, it was a very deep conversation that Jesus was having with the church. But inside the depth of that conversation was a very important secret, because inside that conversation, it is very, very important, extremely important, that the church elucidates, unveils, the church opens up the identity of the church that does not enter the rapture. In that way, the church will be able to know by inference, by conclusion, the identity, the character, and the spiritual trait, the spiritual image of the perfect bride of Christ that is symbolized by the 5 wise virgins, the bride that enters the wedding banquet, the bride that enters into the wedding supper of the Lamb of God. Now, I want to look at another level of unraveling, which essentially means opening up deeper. What was typical? What is the character that is common to the 5 foolish virgins? Because it's amazing to me that no one can afford to read this parable just like one reads a storybook. Because it's amazing to me that the 10 virgins, all of them are separated from the rest, from the church and the world, which means they have received revelation. They have also received revelation that the wedding of the Lamb of God is near. So that is commemorated by their being able to step out into the darkness, which means to go take up the commission for the last days, to evangelize more, to be the light of the dying world, the lost souls, the light of the world. They are even able to hear the voice of the archangel announcing the mighty coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. At the same time, the five foolish virgins are not able to enter the kingdom of God. So to me it is very interesting to know, what is it about them that was not clean into the kingdom of God? Because we see a church, this last church, we see so much similarity in this church of the five foolish virgins. If it's Holy Spirit, they say they are in field, they dance in the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues, they do things, but are they able to, in the final moments, enter through the gates of heaven? We also see a generic blanket statement that is being spoken in different churches, that when you enter through that door, you receive the Lord, that's it, you've entered the kingdom of God. And yet here we now see that there is a further screening process for the remnant, and that is the remnant that stepped out, very much aware that the rapture is near. And he said, 5 out of 10 of them make up the remnant bride of Christ, which means 50% of that remnant finally enters. So we are talking about the remnant of the remnant. Hallelujah. I want to look further. Who are the foolish virgins? There are a few things I want to bring to you, which will bring you to another level. Number one, the first thing we know about them is that in the beginning, all the 10 lamps had the initial amount of oil. Hallelujah. And even as we proceed, you will begin to realize we are answering the questions I raised in the beginning. Who are these virgins? Are they those who have refused the Holy Spirit? Are they the Jews? Are they the Pharisees that refused the covenant of grace which brings the Holy Spirit? Are they the church that did not receive the Holy Spirit? Are they the world that is not born again? Who are these people? But from the beginning, you see very clearly that all, you see essentially that all the 10 virgins took up their lamps and their lamps were lit. And that tells you that there was a minimal basal level, original level, the beginning level of anointing oil in all the 10 lamps. Hallelujah. And that also tells you that all the lamps were capable of being lit by the Lord in the beginning. These are things that you cannot pick up if you read this parable as a story. And we cannot read this parable as a story, because we know that our Lord Jesus, He is the beginning and the end of all wisdom. And if He spoke in parable, it's even deeper, so we need a lot of help from the Holy Spirit so we can understand. Again, you see very clearly that all the lamps had an initial level of oil in the beginning. All the 10 lamps, 5 for the foolish virgins, 5 for the wise virgins. Number 2, we also see that all the lamps were able to be lit, were capable of being lit. Number 3, we also see that all the lamps at that time, as they were lit, were taken out and capable of burning from the time the waiting process began to the midnight hour. It is only when the midnight hour was approaching that finally all the lamps were beginning to burn out, to fade out, and to go low. Hallelujah. That tells you that there is a basic level of anointing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is what the Lord is saying, that every single person that was created and walking onto this planet Earth has the initial capacity, the initial capability to recognize that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Because it is that initial capacity, that initial anointing, which the Lord imprinted in our lives, it is that anointing that the Lord prophesied in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when He said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness. Hallelujah. Let me give you an example here. It is like a father and a son separating for many, many years. Let's say the father travels to another country and many of his features may change in the physical. His dressing may change. He might be wearing a beard by the time he comes back. And the day he arrives at the airport and his son comes to meet him at the airport, however many changes may have taken place in the lives of the two, the father and the son, the father is still always able to pick out and say, "This is my son." Hallelujah. And the son is always able to look at this man that is walking towards other people and say, "I think this is my father." Which means the Lord, when he created man, and he said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness," it was a spiritual imprint. He imprinted into the spirit of the man the capability for the man to realize and recognize his creator. Hallelujah. In which process, he's talking about the ability of man to realize and be able to say that Jesus is Lord. It does not matter what religion they are. It does not matter whether they have no religion, they're atheists. But when you say Jesus is Lord, deep inside their souls, they will know that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Let me bring it to another level. That's why it's very common to hear and see that people may go striving all over the world looking for wealth, accumulate as much wealth as they want, accumulate as much property as they have, but finally, you still see that in their lives, they are complaining of some void. Say, despite all this accomplishment, they still feel that there is an empty space, a void in their lives, that only the salvation of our Lord Jesus can fulfill. So that tells you that in the beginning, every single person is endowed, is equipped with the most minimum level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will allow them in the Spirit to recognize that Jesus is Lord. And it is that anointing that makes them be able to recognize Jesus is Lord and then give their lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. So they are born again and their lamps are lit. Hallelujah. Let me take you further through scripture, and this is going to be very deep. We'll look at the life of John the Baptist. The book of Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Just to help you understand what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Look at what it says here. When the Lord was speaking to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist, he said, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Hallelujah. That tells you that God has the capability and he has a blueprint. He has a plan for man in which he's able to anoint every single person with the minimum level of the Holy Spirit so they can recognize him, recognize Christ, the Son of the living God, and after recognizing him, give him their lives, in other words, receive salvation, and have their lamps lit. Poop, 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 their lamps lit. And that is essentially what happened to all the 10 virgins. That's why all the 10 lamps were able to be lit. Hallelujah. There must have been an initial level of oil in them, a level that was able to take them even up to a given length in the waiting process. But then what happens at the end? Let me take it to another level. Still talking about the initial level of anointing. The book of Matthew chapter 16, I'm reading verses 13 to 20, so you may understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. Matthew 16, 13 to 20, look at what it says here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? Hallelujah. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? Verse 16 of Matthew 16. Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Verse 17 of Matthew 16. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. At a time when he had not poured the Holy Spirit in the Pentecost, he had not gone up so the Spirit may be released, you can see that there was a level of anointing of the Holy Spirit that came to Peter, so Peter could say, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Recognize him. Look at what he says here. He says, that does not come from the world. Only the Father must have imprinted that in your spirit so you can recognize that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at what he says, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, for the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Listen to this precious viewers. Peter is able to use the wisdom, the minimal wisdom, the basal level, the little amount that everybody is endowed with. He's able to use that level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to recognize that surely Jesus, he is Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the level of anointing that all human beings, the 6 billion plus on earth, have been gifted with during creation, that they may be able to recognize Jesus as being Christ, the Son of the living God, and then surrender their lives, and then be born again, receive the salvation of the Lord. And look at what Jesus says after that. He says, therefore, on this rock I'll build my church. What does he mean by that? His church is his perfect bride. Hallelujah. He didn't mean a church that will collapse and not go into heaven. He didn't mean a church that will wait with their candles, with their lamps burning, and when the midnight hour comes, they fail to enter. He talked about the 5 wise virgins. Hallelujah. The ones that can do the effective, efficient, transforming waiting that will be able to bring them into the kingdom of God. In other words, he said, on this basal level, on this minimum level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I will build my church. Because based on that, they will be able to recognize me, and then I can do the further works on them once they have entered and perfection them so they may be my perfect bride. Isn't that amazing? Still on the same level, I am talking about the 10 lamps. Why is it that all the 10 lamps had to be lit? Does it mean they were empty? And the definite answer is no. That means all the 10 lamps had the basic level of anointing of the Holy Spirit, all the 10 virgins, the anointing that allowed them to recognize Christ and give their lives to Christ, be Christians, hallelujah. The little anointing that allowed them to recognize that time has changed for the church, the wedding rings are in the sky, the clock in heaven says 1 minute to midnight, so they may know that Christ the Messiah is coming in the rapture of the church, to know that even the remnant church of Christ will be the one that will be taken from the church, so that they would have their lamps lit and step out out of the usual church, to go in the darkness and wait for the Lord with their lamps. They all had some oil in their lamps, the minimum level of oil. Let me bring you further, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, even underscores this much better. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 3. And he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." Okay? "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking in the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.'" You see that? "And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." You see that? That's why I'm telling you, all people that give their lives to Christ, they essentially activate that minimum level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which level was imprinted into their lives during creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So they can give their lives to Christ, say, "Jesus is Lord," and give their lives to Christ so their lamps can be lit. Which means they must have that basic level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is what enabled all the virgins to have their lamps lit and even to move out now in the end time church, move out into the darkness and begin to purify as they wait for Christ, the chief bridegroom, Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the Messiah. Hallelujah. They needed that minimum level to keep them even waiting until the midnight hour. Remember, their lamps did not go off until the midnight hour is when now every lamp was going low. So there was a minimum level that carried them on, kept the light burning. But the question is, was it sufficient? Hallelujah. I want to take you even further. In the book of Ezekiel, I'm reading Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 6. And this is what he says here, somebody. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 6. He says, "The men brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out of under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar." Verse 2 of Ezekiel 47, he says, "He then brought me back through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side." Verse 3, "As the man went eastwards with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep." Somebody, do you see that minimum level? The man of the Holy Spirit measured off 1,000 cubits and led the church being symbolized by the servant of the Lord, through the water that was ankle deep at the ankle level. You see that? Hallelujah. And look at this now. "He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. And he measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was to the waist. He measured off another 1,000 cubits, but this time it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross." In Ezekiel 47, the Lord was talking about the latter glory that would visit the house. But it's very interesting to us here in this parable of Matthew 25, talking about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins that went to wait upon the bridegroom, that is our Lord Jesus, even towards the rapture of the church. It's interesting that the basic level of the anointing is the ankle level that he's talking about here. And you begin to see that there is a propensity, there is a capacity in the church for her to receive added levels of anointing of the Holy Spirit, which levels would be proportionate and commensurate with the prophetic timing, the end time. To me, that is even more interesting Because we see that when the midnight hour comes, then the minimum level cannot withstand the storms. You see that? No wonder the Bible says, the days are evil, let us redeem time. The wickedness of the last days, you see that? But I'm just going ahead of myself. I just want you to understand that there is the anchor level, but this anchor level, like we can see, is short-lived. That is just the level that allows you to come on board. Because after that, you are supposed to show the light, which is the life of Christ, to the dying world. But how can you show that light when you are just at the anchor level, the level at which the lamps have been lit? That tells you that this anchor level is the level at which all the 10 virgins were operating, the basal level, the basic level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But this level also talks about the infancy, the infant church, the young church. Hallelujah. This level talks about the childhood in your Christian life. That means you are compelled to need more anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see that? So you can grow, so that the light you emit, which is the life of Christ in you as a Christian, may show more fruit. Hallelujah. And so that you too may enter into the rapture. Because, by the way, mark you, the rapture only takes the mature bride of Christ. So there must be a gradual transforming process, a process of growth, as the church is busy waiting on the chief bridegroom. Hallelujah. Waiting for the Messiah. What a mighty waiting process. You're waiting and you're growing. Hallelujah. And the other thing I want to bring to your attention is the fact that there seems to be a transforming factor that even as the church is waiting, Jesus was telling the church that the initial level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you have, the day you receive the Lord, there is no problem with that anointing. It is very good for you because it can help you recognize me and give your life to me. But you need to seek for more anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That is the message he's giving the church. And he's telling the church, if you depend on that level of anointing, you are going to remain an infant forever. And I am not coming back to wed an infant. Hallelujah. I am coming back to wed a perfect, mature bride. Are we together, somebody? Let us move it to another level. The Lord is also talking about the fact that there is a certain level of anointing of the Holy Spirit in the church that seems to cut across the entire spectrum of the church in the four corners of the earth, and that anyone that continues to operate in that level of anointing, whether they are still in the church that did not separate out, or they separated out to wait on me, they will not enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So he's saying that the church needs to seek an increased and the added level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because it is he, the person of the Holy Spirit, that will reveal more Christ to us, so we may be able to shine, to reveal more fruit of Christ, of the life of Christ, to the darkness of the world, to the dying world, to the lost souls, even in the last days. Hallelujah. And the Lord is also telling the church in this parable that that minimum level of the anointing, whether you are still in the church or you separate out waiting for me in the darkness, that level will be extinguished, will not be enough, will be killed when the last minute, the midnight storms begin to set in. That means you would need an added support, an external support, not from your own, but from the sacred anointing of the Holy Spirit. The consecrated anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What a mighty day. And then, he's also telling the church that when you step out, he's talking about the remnant church. He's not talking about the general church here. Again, the Lord Jesus was not speaking about the general church. He's talking about those who are able even to hear the voice of the archangel, which means they feel the remnant that has stepped out of the walls of the church, and they are now outside there with their lamps. They are working so hard to redeem the souls. Time is out. He's saying, even that remnant that is out, if they continue operating in spiritual childhood, spiritual infancy, they will not be able to emit the rightful light, hallelujah, the light that is the image of Christ. Remember, the Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. And that is the same statement he said in John chapter 8, hallelujah, when he said, I am the light of the world. Which means the Lord is telling the church, you cease to wear your own image, but you wear the image of Christ. That is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church right now. And if you look at the church of Christ in the four corners of the earth, almost more than 95 to 99% is an infant church, is an immature church, is a childhood church. They are operating the initial level. That's why they cannot even recognize that time is out. They are still in preaching money. They are still in the sexual sin. They are still in the lust and the love of money. They are still in the human glory. They are involved in politics. If you look at the Church of Christ in Kenya, they are in politics. Hallelujah. They are sitting together with priests of other gods at the same place, in the same TV programs, in the same radio programs, in the same prayer meetings, the same stadiums. They pray or they wait until a priest of another religion prays. Then they go pray at the same altar. That means they have not grown in the Holy Spirit. Because if they had grown, they would have known that time is over and this is time to separate out. I have a section here on the separation. But listen to this, somebody. There's something I want to address here. What is it about the minimum level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that characterizes the five foolish virgins, even as the Lord was speaking to this church, the current church? What is it that was harmful to them that made them not enter into the rapture?
¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor, si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.